This is the Big Biz Show. What's so funny about investing money, you ask?
Play ball.
The Big Biz Show with Russ and Sully hope to answer that. Top-rated insightful financial analysis. If you are looking for insightful financial perspective on key market strategies, keep looking. I told you, this is the Big Biz Show. Hello. This is Russ and Sully.
You don't look like him.
I know. Especially with older women.
Hey, good to have you along. We picked up our radio audience on Biz Talk Radio Network. American Forces Radio Network in 175 countries and all the ships at sea. God bless our military men and women for serving our country overseas and underway. Let's not forget iHeartRadio, who's everywhere. So we're basically 110 million broadcast television homes, 150 radio stations in 175 countries, and we are inefficient in all.
That's right.
Every one of them.
Yeah, is Emmy Award-losing Sully Sullivan.
Thank you. Thanks. Appreciate that. I've been nominated for a lot of Emmys.
Yep.
You've been nominated as well.
Yep. But I won a couple.
I've lost more than you have won. Dow Jones, NASDAQ, S&P, all kind of bouncing back today after the tumultuous. Look, my screen's not bleeding today. Yeah, you can. So
it's a half and half.
Yeah, it's well...
A little? Huh?
Ish. Yeah, I'll tell you. Okay. Most of the stocks and the Dow and the S&P and NASDAQ are rebounding a bit. But there's a thing in the stock market parlance called a dead cat bounce.
Oh, I love this.
Do you know what a dead cat
bounce
is?
Well, yes. Last time we tried it, we got the CPA, whatever that came over and said, stop that. No, this is where if you threw a dead cat off a building.
If you dropped a dead cat off a high enough building.
Yeah, it would...
It would bounce.
It would bounce.
So the analogy goes like this.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. The analogy goes like this. If you see, like, take a look at the Dow. Don't show the long chart, Jared. Just take a look at the Dow, and you can see just right before Christmas.
And there's a reason it's not called the watermelon bounce.
That's right.
Because that doesn't happen.
Yeah. But if you see, for example, in...
Oh, God.
Okay, so look at December of last year. December 24th marked the worst day of the year in stocks, okay?
Yes.
Stocks dropped like a tummy tuck on a plus-size model.
Love that.
How about that?
Mm-hmm.
And then right after that, you'll notice the day after it hit, it bounced up a bit, and then it went sideways and bounced down a bit before it recovered.
Right.
So a dead cat bounce means if something falls badly enough, like we just saw in the last week, there's a dead cat bounce. It's honest to God, it's a stock market technical term.
I hope
if you
so.
Look it up in if you look it up in Investopedia,
right.
Or whatever.
But if you Google that, you're getting a whole different video.
No, you'll see dead cat bounce. So
okay.
So this is what's happening. Technically speaking, if you want to look at the markets here, the red thin line. Represents a long-term moving average, and I think in this case it's about 10 weeks. The thin blue line is a 13-day moving average, and the jagged line is where the Dow is trading right now. So right now the Dow is trading below both moving averages, meaning that the market's trending down. If you're a technician, you can sort of tell right here, you wouldn't want to buy here.
They're about to touch, though. Cross.
Yeah, well, if that blue line crosses below the red line, that usually means it's a downward trend. You want to stay away. But, the idea behind technical analysis is really simple. If you buy a stock at $100... Let's just say you bought Apple stock when it was $100 and you didn't know much about the company. And that stock went down to $80 a share. And hope against hope, you're like still holding on to 80. I already lost 20% of my investment.
In my prayers.
If you sell, you've just locked in your losses. But what if it starts coming back?
Yeah, baby.
Little by little.
Like a horse
suddenly
race.
Suddenly 90, 95, 98. By the time it hits 100 again, you felt like you dodged a bullet. Most people will sell. Okay, which is why you can predict.
I'm that guy.
What happens? So take a look at that chart again. If you look at that, you'll be able to tell where what are called resistance and support lines are. And if you and a resistance point would be, for example, from February to March, we kind of went sideways here this year, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now that's where our support is. We're right around where support is right now. And if you go back in time, you'll see that we hit that support in December, November, last August.
That's about that 2,500 mark there.
That's about right. So that's a good support resistance line. It's tough to get past that point, and it's tough to drop below that point. If we do drop below that point, the next support line doesn't hit until 24,000. And then of course it drops down to 22,000.
Yes, and then we're
so.
Then
but
we
those are that's, but that's only one leg of the milking stool, to speak. Technical analysis is just one. You got to look at the fundamentals and everything else.
Everyone's look, talking China.
I had a good chance to do a long form interview with our next guest just last week on a local station. Well, it's San Diego and LA, and goes out to Yuma. It's a pretty big footprint.
On a cloudy day, all the way.
We met Joe because I think our producer. 3 years ago, 4 years ago, walked into his store and said, this is a cool thing. And literally sent him an email. Next thing we had him on there. His name's Joe Kudla. He's the founder and CEO of Vuori. Vuori is one of the fastest growing active lifestyle apparel brands in the U.S.
Vuori.
So, no, it's not Italian.
Oh, sorry.
Just
sounded. Does have that little.
It doesn't. It really doesn't at
wouldn't
all.
Think
not
it
even
at all.
A little bit.
All right.
But check this out. So you practice yoga, and can you talk about the first time you did yoga? Because I remember when you came in, and we're so excited about your yoga shoes.
Yes. I was recently into the singles world, and a young lady said, let's do yoga. I said, sure, I'll get new shoes.
And you went to Costco. You went to Costco, didn't you?
Bought these ugly white, because I thought yoga, it's all white and stuff, you know.
Like white
you
people?
Don't even wear, huh? Like, no, like, you know.
Like tennis?
Well, yeah, I have that image
so you
of
do
yoga,
nothing,
like
you
a
do
guy
nothing.
Sitting around in a white sheet going, hmm, is all I'm saying.
Joe, this totally validates what you were thinking before. So here's what the deal was. There's a lot of men that practice yoga.
Yeah.
5 million exactly.
Yeah.
And none of them knew what to wear. That's wasn't this how you started?
Yeah, pretty much.
Not as bad as that story, but it really was sort of that story.
Yeah.
The real story was is when... When you started going to yoga, we were wearing Lululemon, which felt like you were wearing your wife's stuff.
That's
right?
A little, yeah, that's too
tight. Tell us the story again.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I got into yoga about 10 years ago, and obviously Vuori as a brand today has kind of really opened the aperture beyond the yoga studio. But about 10 years ago, I found yoga to heal my back. Uh-huh. I was in a lot of pain from playing football.
Because you're an
and
athlete.
Lacrosse. Yeah, I played football and lacrosse through college. And a friend suggested I try yoga, and I really actually fell in love with it. I was getting a lot of relief. I was feeling good in my body. And that was about the time when I started looking around and seeing how many guys were going to yoga and what little options they had available to them in terms of
Birdwell beach bridges.
Well, you had those cutoffs. You had those core classics from Costco there, Russ. Those worked pretty good.
Or that new line of underwear that was a little too tight and, you know, revealing. So,
But honestly, though... I've heard you tell this story a number of times, and I even retold the story over the weekend. You went into Lululemon if you wanted to have this athleisure clothing. And athleisure is when you see the women in, and I say women because the first thing you saw was women in grocery stores wearing what looked out to be workout clothes, but turned into be a fashion statement, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was athleisure.
That's right.
If you walked into the Lululemon, though, there was a little spot about this big that had a couple pairs of shorts
for
and a couple
fellas.
Of
yeah.
And they were always, you know, there was a small left and a triple extra large. I didn't even make triple. There was not much in the middle, right?
Yeah, I mean, men's was definitely an afterthought. They were very focused on their female consumer at the time, and a lot of brands were kind of entering into that marketplace, chasing the market that Lululemon had established.
I was
so
focused
well.
On their female market as well. Oddly,
something
well,
the pants, something completely
you
different.
Know, they look great. I'm telling you. I'm
well,
glad the ladies
listen,
started
that,
wearing.
That's why it was a fashion statement, right. Though, but the men didn't have
it. Well, yeah, it was this idea of bringing in synthetic fabrics, right? The same fabrics Nike and, you know, Under Armour and Adidas, all these guys have been using for years, but they built them in a way that looked like natural fibers so that you actually wanted to wear them. You didn't feel like you were wearing the quote-unquote gym costume.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no stripes on it. Yeah. No. So I guess my question is, when you first started out to do this, obviously this is a crowded space. And when I say crowded space, just apparel is a crowded space.
Is it just Lululemon for the guys?
No, it's not
Lululemon.
No, it's Vuori now. But when you went out
saying.
There and you realized, how did you know you could make a dent? Was it just because it was a, you know, the typical, like Steve Forbes has said in this program and many other pretty well known CEOs, find a need and fill it? And you figure
pretty
out
much.
That was it,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, pretty much. You just, you know, find a need that wasn't being addressed in our own personal lives. You know, you hear a lot of entrepreneurs say that. But that was the case for us. Like, we couldn't find it. It wasn't just yoga. Like, I mean, you know, we started in yoga. So yes, hats off to that being like the seed that was planted. But, you know, just in athletic apparel in general, you know, Nike, Under Armour, all these brands, they were really inspired by team sport athletics and urban street culture. Here we are. We live on the beach. You know, we live in this incredible place in Southern California. And we draw inspiration from a different place. And therefore, the clothes look and feel a little bit different. So we wanted to bring that spirit and that personality into activewear.
You guys have, by the way, for our radio audience, our TV audience is watching the video here. And actually, you're seeing Joe in a lot of these things here because, you know, you started out as an athlete and you made clothing for kind of that crew, but at the same time, boy, what a I mean, beach volleyball and surfing has been what brands have latched their wagon onto for a long time in the Midwest and in the East Coast, and none of them quite get it right because they're not from here.
Right,
you are from here, and that's part of the popularity here.
I think it's
authentic. Right?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, it's a very aspirational town. Surf brands have been kind of telling that story for a long time, and it's very appealing to people in the Midwest and on the East Coast that are dealing with, like, you know, Horatius Winters. Yeah. You know, we're out here, we're pretty blessed. And so, you know, we're sharing a little bit of that with the rest of the world. But, you know, I think that what's really been the difference for Vuori is this brand ethos that we have. And it's the way we approach all product categories. And that's built to move and styled for life. It's this idea of using the best performance materials available, but designing it in a way that you want to wear it every day. We felt like that was really missing from the men's market. The women's market was really addressing it. And so it's been fun to see that.
Well, stay here. We're going to talk about that because, you know, there's actually a recipe when you go and you make these fabrics.
Oh.
You don't just go find a fabric. Joe, with his team, went there and they created a proprietary sort of to Vuori. So if you go back
That's why it feels like you're wearing nothing, some of those.
Some of them are. Yeah. I am such a... by the way, they do not sponsor the program. This is not a paid thing at all.
Hey, well, let's talk about that.
I don't even take a discount when I go there just because I'm a big supporter of the company. But I can tell you this. Yeah. I've got nothing but drawers full of this stuff.
Wait a second, man.
I bet.
What do you think the teacher's going to look like this year?
I don't let you see, Russ. Stand by.
Too much cholesterol in the blood causes plaque buildup in the arteries. Fiber has been scientifically proven to lower cholesterol. Created by Dr. J. Robert Cade, the inventor of Gatorade, Cholesterade promotes probiotic function, supports digestive health, contains all natural flavors, and is gluten-free. In the original case study, participants saw a reduction in bad cholesterol by more than 20%. Cholesterade is the ultimate all-natural digestive aid.
You're born broke and you die broke. They're trying not to take the in-between part too seriously. It's Sully and Russ on the Big Biz Show.
Hey there.
Hi.
Great to have you along today. Big Biz Show, bigbizshow.com. Coming up in just a few minutes, Blair Clark, president of Canyon Bicycles, from one disruptor to another. They're changing the way that you buy bicycles in this country.
How about bicycle pants, Bob?
What about bicycle pants?
Sounds like a cartoon, Bicycle Pants Bob.
Have you ever worn bicycle shorts?
You're not going to show that picture,
no,
are you?
No, I'm not.
I'm paying you
10
monthly.
10 pounds in a 5-pound bag. What have you ever worn cycling shorts for athletic?
Yeah, kind of.
See, I think what's happened in the male athletic world is that we've tried to repurpose things for comfort. Don't you think that's how we did it, Joe, for a while? Is that we tried everything to find some comfort in the gym, and it never really happened until you guys came. I mean, honestly, you guys were kind of the first to. I mean, it was a great story, and actually, Joe was sitting in my kitchen. He was well established at that point, and actually, we were just looking at some numbers, and I was trying to get our group to invest in it, and I think we had enough money at the time. But one of the things you said was there's 5 million men that practice yoga in this country. None of them are brand loyal.
Yeah.
And if I could sell one pair of shorts to 10% of them, I'm gonna have a pretty good company. Wasn't that sort of the feeling in the beginning?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was a very, very large addressable market. As surfers, we knew there were about 4 million people that surfed in the U.S. And think about how bloody and competitive that market is.
Yeah, I mean, look at all of the board short companies and all the T-shirt companies, all the hat companies. Not even to mention the products that you go in the water with, right?
Absolutely. And so there was 30 million people practicing yoga. I think 30% of them were men. So that skews a little higher than the 5 million. But it was a huge addressable market. And again, that was just the jumping off point. We knew that, like, to really speak to who we were authentically, it was going to be a much bigger story than just yoga. But yoga was the way we could enter the marketplace.
Sure.
That was really where we saw the opportunity. And today, Vuori sits, you know, 5 years later, is really a kind of a broader athletic, active lifestyle.
Well, you are. I mean, you're right there with, I mean, and I can see if you look at brands like Nike and Under Armour, and I mean, they have pivoted their designs and what they're selling as a result of you guys being. I mean, do you ever think that you'd see? I mean, you guys are a player in the market where the biggest guys in the market looked to you and you caused them to pivot the way they're addressing things.
I suppose it's flattery in its finest form, right?
I guess it is. That's true. Let's look
forward to putting on these shorts. You know what I mean? Some shorts like
first thing I put on every
scratchy,
morning.
You're not
first thing I put on every single morning. Yeah. I'm not kidding.
I
want to reiterate this. They are not sponsors. I'm not getting paid to say this. Joe's a friend, and I'm just a big supporter of the company.
One thing I'll say on that front is that, and this is a little shameless plug, but we do back everything with a lifetime guarantee. So we invest so much energy and put so much love into our product that we back it with a lifetime guarantee.
That's your special material stuff that you
develop? It's everything we put into it. And we're not perfect. You know, we have quality issues here and there, but we just stand by it.
I think it's pretty perfect. I've never brought anything back, ever. So, by the way, VioriClothing.com is the website. Two things, because I want to talk about how you guys market and the fact that it started out as sort of a virtual business. The other side, though, real quickly, there is that recipe thing that goes on. You go to China, you go to other countries, you go to other places in the U.S., you go to Mexico, and you create these fabrics, yeah. right? I mean, isn't that sort of a yeah. recipe? And I don't know if they can you can patent it or not, but it's a recipe that is nascent to you guys, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a little dirty secret in the clothing business. All fabrics, you know, when you hear of these branded fabrics by a lot of brands, you know, really they're just, you know, they're custom developed fabrics that they'll put a trademark name on. It's just like me calling my business Viore. It's like I can develop a fabric and call it Viore solely, you know, whatever I want to call it. But that, yes, we do invest a lot of time and energy in developing signature fabrics that nobody else has.
Right.
And that's part of the reason we've been able to get off to a quick start. So many people comment on how soft our fabrications are, yeah. how they just want to live in them all day.
Yes.
And that's definitely not by accident.
Yeah. So talk about a little bit, you know, of course, ViorIClothing.com, you can purchase it. There's stores around the U.S., but at the same time, though, when you guys went out there, okay, you created this cool stuff that you knew that you would wear, your friends would wear, you knew that it would take off if you just a few people had their eyeballs on it. I mean,
yeah.
Sometimes there's those things that you just know, if only somebody could see this, I think that they would buy it.
Yeah.
What was the first step you guys took on that?
Yeah, so, you know, actually the first step, a little bit of a flawed strategy, but, you know, I'm an open book here, but we essentially went out to the wholesale marketplace and tried to build it the good old-fashioned way.
Knocked on doors.
You know, knocked on doors. Talked to other...
Hey, would you feel my pants?
Yeah, sorry. I got in trouble for doing the same thing.
Would you feel my pants?
Yeah. Yeah, get your hands on me.
Yeah, right. My shorts. How about, look at this. How about a suit?
So that. So I'm assuming there's a lot of slam doors in your face.
Yeah, yeah. Just nice. A lot of no's early on. And we were actually we had done a little friends and family fundraising to kind of bridge the gap to get us to our next round. Mm-hmm. We had to go out and prove a business case and define an engine of growth. And we'd definitely not done that yet. And we kind of made this key decision early on to move away from a wholesale strategy and go all in on a D2C, direct-to-consumer focus. Mm-hmm. It was all sales driven through our website. It went on. We learned digital marketing. We had to teach ourselves and brought on some.
How was that, by the way? I mean.
Oh, boy. It was, that's another world.
Because you think, I'm going to put this out there, and then all of a sudden you just hear crickets.
No, it was a crash course education. And, you know, we were fortunate to have some good agency partners that helped us along the way. But, you know, when we started, we were essentially investing a dollar in advertising to drive traffic to our site, and we walk away with a dollar of sales. So we were essentially giving away our product.
And was this like a funnel type thing, or like a Facebook type advertising thing, where you knew that you'd advertise it once, and once you massage it enough to where you got a dollar for a dollar, then you started changing it a little bit.
Tweaking. You know, today's day and age, building a brand is very different, and nobody really knows it. Like, it's not...
Because they all think it's all creative. I think too many people think it's just creative. If I put a cool logo, that's enough. And that's not enough.
Well, you have to do everything so well nowadays. You have to make great product. Because if you don't make great product, it's too transparent of a universe, right?
Yeah.
Bad reviews will kill you, right?
Yeah. Right?
People talk on social media. You know, you have to deliver a great product. That's first and foremost. But how you make that, how you introduce that product to customers, it used to be, you know, you'd go to a trade show, you'd get Nordstrom and some of these big guys buying your business... And then before you know it, you kind of created these monolithic brands, you know, the brands that hung on the racks at Nordstrom and Bloomingdale's and Neiman Marcus and Saks and all these guys. That has completely changed. Now anybody can launch a brand via social media. And that's really what we did.
It's up for the mob to determine if you were right or not.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. And, you know, it gives you the opportunity to develop a strategy, test, pivot. It's the way that technology businesses have been built for years. You launch a beta, you learn, you adapt, you pivot, and you keep moving forward. And that's exactly what happened to us. Like, the original messaging that we launched with on Facebook, it evolved, and to where we are today, it looks and feels like a very different brand.
Got to stay flexible,
but
shorts.
But still, though, I mean, and by the way, go to ViorIClothing.com and look at some of the assets on there. I was literally there 2 days ago. That exact room you're looking at on TV, and for our radio audience, just go to BigBizShow.com. I'll put a link over there if you can't remember, but it's ViorIClothing.com. V-U-O-R-I Clothing.com. Cudlett, always great to have you in studio. I think you should come back and just be our branding expert. I mean, honestly, I learn more about branding than I do about anything when you come.
And I see a line of suits coming out soon from Lou. Okay.
Like back in the days where they had like the short sleeve little jacket, like the Jansen set.
Vest comes over. Come on, yoga suits.
Joe just ran out. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it, Joe Cudlett. CEO and founder of Viori, ViorClothing.com. We're going to have him back for sure. All right. From the beach to the bike. I'll tell you about it in a minute. Jump Television Studios, The Big Biz Show, our affiliates, and our hosts are not registered investment advisors or broker-dealers. Our show hosts make no commitment that the purchase of securities of companies profiled or otherwise mentioned in our programming are suitable or advisable for any person, or that an investment in such securities will be profitable in general. Given the nature of the companies profiled and the lack of an active trading market for their securities, investing in such securities is highly speculative and carries a high degree of risk. We profile selected publicly traded and privately held companies on our program. Most of these companies that we profile have provided compensation to Jump Television Studios and its hosts for the profile coverage. From time to time, we sell shares of the companies profiled in the open market that we receive as compensation for coverage of client companies, but never sell stock if we are speaking about, interviewing, or covering a public company who has paid compensation. Specific questions on compensation can be obtained by contacting jumptvstudios@gmail.com. Listeners should verify all claims and do their own due diligence before investing in any securities mentioned on this program. Investing in securities is speculative and carries a high degree of risk. We encourage our listeners to invest carefully and read the investor information available at the websites on the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, at sec.gov, and or the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, FINRA, at finra.org.
They voted Ben Bernanke sexiest Fed chairman ever. It's Sully and Russ on The Big Biz Show.
Ah, that's a look. Hey there, live from the Jump Television Studios in sunny San Diego, California. Big Biz Show's on the air. Nationwide, coast to coast, U2 America Network, Biz TV Network. That's 110 million television homes strong.
Wow.
Like that? We're also not only on TV, we're on radio, on iHeartRadio. Armed Forces Radio Network in 175 countries and all the ships at sea. So you can watch us on your couch on cable. You can listen to us in your car. Or they have a newfangled thing called the interweb.
Oh, we're there too.
You know, it was, the funny part, when we started on radio in this city, we're broadcast nationwide, but when we started on radio 23 years ago,
yeah.
Do you remember when we said, we should do this internet thing?
Yes.
And you said, and then you said, we should...
I bought a flip cam. It was one of the first weird cameras that came out that you could digitally, and I made a weird first show.
We were in a radio studio.
Yeah.
You were shooting me, and then you had a mirror behind me.
Yeah, so you could
see
me.
So you could see you.
So I'd hold the camera over here, and my head was next to his head.
We were the first webcast on television.
That was funny.
I think so. Great to have you along today. And thanks again to Joe Cudlow from Viori. That was really good. Joe's been on with us in the past, a couple years back, and I wanted him again just because it's just...
I'm telling you, that new material... That's wrong. That new material that they make stuff out of is so comfortable. Yeah. You really never want to get...
Well, one of the issues was is the way he started selling stuff. You know, I mean, and look at it. This is the entire B2C model that you've talked about. Russ, in fact, you know what? Tell us what the B2C model is, Rusty.
They sell beans or something.
No,
B2C. No, B2C is like the business goes right to the person who's going to buy stuff from them.
Nailed it.
Business
versus Russ, give me B2B.
Business would sell like to another business who then comes over and says, look, I got some stuff from another business. You want to buy it from me?
You are brilliant.
Now, can I take
You've been
the
in
the
studio
the
for 22 years with me, and that's all you got.
That's all I got. God.
Hey, so what's interesting about this is that there is something called the Amazon effect, and the Amazon effect is the fact that many people will do what's called showrooming. They'll go out and look at stuff, but purchase it on the internet. There's also a thing called webrooming where they look at it on the internet and they go purchase stuff at a cheaper price in a showroom. But the long story short is more and more of our purchasing is coming through the internet.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting, it's not as much as you think. Because
isn't that weird
even
too?
According to the National Retail Federation, as late as last year, if you exclude the Black Friday sort of sales going on, less than 15% of our overall purchasing goes through the internet. People think, 60%.
Yeah.
It's not. However, it was 3% just 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So it is growing at a rapid pace. And you're seeing companies that are in every space that are using this B2C model. One such company is Canyon. Canyon is a bicycle company. It's called Canyon Bicycles. You can go to canyon.com.
Look at these.
Actually, I'm going to put it on our website because to get to the U.S. site, it's a little longer name. But if you go to bigbizshow.com, I'll put a link on there. But what's interesting, I don't know how the hell they got the name just canyon.com. So that was number one. But they have created a really cool group of bicycles in the mountain bike range, in the street bike range, in the road bike range, whereby you do everything online. You don't go into a bike shop. You don't go see a guy that turns a wrench. Now, you certainly can go to a showroom, but you look at it online, and then you talk to their customer service people, who, by the way, I faked my way in as a customer, I have to tell you.
Oh, like an undercover boss thing.
Undercover boss thing. Yeah. And the guy, I couldn't tell. I mean, it was like really close to me purchasing a bike. And then, of course, you heard the story of my bike got stolen out of my garage.
A good one,
my $13,000 bike. And then, right in the middle of talking to this thing, and I realized this is how it should be done. So I reached out. I had already
for a new bike.
I had already reached out to Blair Clark to be on the air. Blair Clark with president of Canyon Bicycles. You guys totally changed the way we do business in the biking world, pal. I mean, nobody has done this before. And I will tell you, you're doing it right. First of all, welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. So you just saw Joe Cudlett in here, and you guys have a very similar story with the way sort of they disrupted this industry by using online. Talk about what you guys do and why this is so different.
Well, the founder, Roman Arnold, it's a German company, first of all, and was started over 30 years ago by Roman's father, who took him and his brother to bike races and said, hey, I'm a sales guy. I can't stand around here while you guys are gone for a couple of hours riding your bikes. I need to sell something. So he sold stuff out of their car and out of a trailer. This evolved to their garage at their house. Yeah. Tragically, he passed away when Roman was 17. By this point, the business had scaled reasonably. And Roman said to his younger brother, you stay in school. I'll take care of you and mom through the bike shop. Fast forward today, and Roman's big idea was he saw two things changing in the bike industry. One was the internet. He wanted to be open 24/7 and sell everywhere.
Good.
And two was he believed that carbon fiber as a material science would really change the bike industry as it did. So he invested heavily in those two things. And today we're disrupting the bike industry no different than Tesla disrupted automotive or Warby Parker disrupted eyewear by selling direct to consumer.
So have you been in the bicycle world your whole life? I mean, is this
off and on.
I mean, when you're the president of a bicycle, an international bicycle company. And by the way, this is not a small brand. You guys are taking market share away from the big guys on a daily basis.
Globally, it's the number one road bike brand in all of Europe. We sell in virtually every country. We came to the United States last. We started in August 2017 in the U.S. Mm-hmm.
Less than 2 years ago.
Less than 2 years
you
ago.
You show up.
Yes.
And not only they show up, by the way, fantastic shirt.
I haven't been in around bikes since there was like Schwinn, Husky, and Continental, I think.
That's the last.
I think I got a Continental one.
I think
one.
You did too.
That's it.
Was part of, okay, so first of all, you've got this, the bike, and you guys, my audience knows this because of the fact that we've been raising money for Challenge Athletes Foundation for 10 years, and you guys have more video footage of me riding my bike from San Francisco to San Diego when I was this big down to this big, and boy, there was
we see more of the tires every year, as you said.
There was a couple bikes there that actually cracked at the weld at the very beginning there. I had a BMC that cracked at the weld. That's impossible to do.
Yeah.
You have technology on one side of your business.
Yeah.
On the other side of your business, you have sales and marketing.
Yes.
And the two have to sort of intersect. And this is one of the few businesses, much like technology, like computers, where both of them have to happen.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Well, we're a German company, so German engineering and precision is really important to the brand and the whole experience.
Sure.
At the end of the day, as I said, Roman invested heavily in carbon fiber. He hired a person to partner with who had a PhD in material science, and they brought CT scanners to the bike industry to look inside the frame to make sure there's no flaws in the layup, any bubbles or voids in the material. And still today, 100% of every carbon fiber fork gets CT scanned, gets a date code stamp, and signed off by what is normally a medical imaging person.
So, yeah, for our TV audience, they're watching some video from the
loving
website.
This stuff.
You can go to canyon.com. That's a CT
scanner running right there.
And for our radio audience, I'll put it up on the side. But if you're watching this, if you're listening to this on radio, you got to see this. And what you're basically looking for is some sort of a flaw before it even goes to the customer.
Exactly. This is German.
This is quality
precision.
Control before you even need it.
Yeah. Precision, dynamics, and you know, it's just a discipline.
So and of course the other piece of this too is that you guys have somehow found the intersection of technology and the cool factor and value. You know, there was a time when you couldn't buy a bike like that for less than $10,000, $12,000, $13,000, and you've made it. A $13,000 bike is for Johnny Lunchbucket, but you guys have created a $13,000 bike for a fifth of the price because of the way you're doing things. Yeah. And I would assume part of this is because of marketing, right?
Yeah. So we call it democratizing performance, or essentially taking technology that was once reserved for the elite athlete and bringing it down to more and more people to make it more affordable by taking out the middleman.
Could you click on the training wheels?
Yeah, they don't. No training wheels. Stay right here. I'm going to keep you on. I want to talk about the marketing side of this thing. But the name of the company, Canyon Bicycles. You can go to canyon.com/EN-US. I know that's a little longer, but I'll put that at the Big Biz Show website. We'll talk about sort of the branding side and the marketing side coming up here.
And they fly, apparently. Look at that.
No, it's the coolest. It's the coolest tool out there. Believe me, you have bike. You know,
every bike can go that high, but it's landing that screws them up.
Yeah.
Big Biz Show.
That's true,
right? Stand by. Russ and Sully, come back in a minute. His name, Blair Clark.
Oh, wow. Wait a second, man. What do you think the teacher's going to look like this year? Whoa.
Asking the hard-hitting questions you want answers to, but mostly just drifting off and staring blankly at the wall. It's the Big Biz Show with Russ and Sully.
Georgia, I swear I've never seen such a smile.
Right, doesn't that make you just want to get out there and get on a bicycle, Rusty? Come on.
Kind of.
Or just buy a drone and take some really cool shots of people.
You know, I am a biker.
I know, you have an electric bike, don't you?
Well, that counts.
It does count.
And it is bike to work day this week.
That's right. How do you like that? Yeah. Do you like how we did that?
See? Bikes.
Blair Clark with Canyon Bicycles.
That counts.
By the way, so even though we broadcast out of a studio in San Diego, and you may be watching us in New York City or even driving down the roads in Dallas, Texas, or even in Q8, listening to us on Armed Forces Radio.
There you go.
You can go to canyonbicycles.com, actually canyon.com/EN-US. I'll put that on our website so you don't have to remember. I'll also tweet it out to our 40,000, so you can go there. But let's talk a little about the marketing side of this thing, because typically brands like this go to bike shops and they put floor inventory in and they finance that floor inventory, and then the bike shop has to pay for that and pay interest on it, and then they release a new bike before all the inventory's gone, and then the big cycle goes over.
God.
And it sounds a lot like Chevrolet to me.
Yes,
and that, isn't that sort of how the old style worked?
It is.
Or if it exactly or maybe not worked?
Yeah, exactly.
How. Talk about the difference between what you guys are doing now.
Well, we sell direct to consumer. It's a spot market in a sense. We
sure.
have it in inventory or we don't. And when we don't, we can give you a sense of when it will come. And when it comes, you know, you can buy it off your smartphone.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting about this, what's interesting about this entire thing is some of the people involved in your cadre of athletes. You have the champion of everything so far, right?
Well, pretty close. We have the world champion on the road side, Alejandro Valverde, who rides for the Movistar team. We have the last four world champions in the Kona Ironman World Championships. Patrick Lang's the last one. And we have the cyclocross world champion, which is running and riding. It's on a road bike.
Wow.
And that's Matthew Vanderpool.
That's when they take the road bikes off the road, correctly?
Yes, exactly.
And they carry them on their shoulders?
Carry them over barricades. What? And yes.
It's a cool thing to watch.
It is. It is really crazy sport.
So there's only one category you're seeking.
We're not... We don't have the world champion in mountain biking, but everything else. But we do sell world-class mountain bikes, including e-bikes in Europe, and we'll have e-bikes here next year as well.
Talk about that e-bike.
That's so nice.
Let me tell you how I feel about e-bikes and how I feel about powered. So right now, there are bicycles out there that you can actually purchase where you can add... You press a button, it'll give you more oomph when you're riding, and much like electric bike. And what I equate that to is if you are a recreational rider. See, I couldn't ride with him if I tried. Because he's faster. I can already tell. Look at how he's built.
Right.
I'm a gorilla. He looks like a cyclist.
Well,
but if I want to ride with my friends, it's like handicapping. You know, you go play golf.
It's
and
like
you
having a push.
Five strokes. So that's going to be a thing, I would assume.
Absolutely.
Right?
There are more electric mountain bikes sold in Germany today than pedal mountain bikes sold in Germany.
Yeah, because I'm not there to compete with you. I just want to hang out with you for a couple hours.
Yeah.
I don't need you to slow down for me. Yeah. And it helps us all kind of hang together.
It's a great equalizer between people.
It's more democratic that way.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Is it true, by the way, at least in your experience, I can tell you, as a partner in a venture capital firm and all the business stuff that I do outside of media, every single thing I've done in the last 8 years has been a result of meeting somebody on a bicycle. Bicycle is the new golf course, is it not?
In many ways. I mean, it's a means of connecting people and communities.
Because you're out there for a number of hours.
Right. Yeah. Our mission is to inspire riders to ride from the top down. And what that means from our perspective is it doesn't matter if you have a canyon today. Come ride with us, and then someday you'll probably choose a canyon.
So. Talk about the marketing side of this thing. So I want to talk about the World Wide Web and going viral and making, and when you're nobody... Because you were nobody in 2018. As a
where do you go to have your inseam measured so you got the right size? You got to have the right size bike.
By the way, we'll get to that in 1 second. Yeah. But honestly, because there's a way that they sell bikes. But part of it starts with the internet, right? How did you get that out there where people saw you suddenly?
Yeah.
Well, you know, first, there's four hurdles to the experience. And one of them you just referenced, which is, how do I know what size I am? We have a section on the internet called the perfect positioning system. You take your inseam length, your height, your shoulder width, your arm length, and from that we have an algorithm
on
the website, or we'll walk you through it over the telephone if you call our 800 number.
So let me stop down. Yeah. So I pose as a client
because I got a longer leg.
Before I was before my bike was, I think Canyon maybe sent somebody over. It was an inside job. They did it.
I got you.
Yeah. So before I was in the market for a bike, just because I knew I was going to interview Blair, I called them up to get the experience. Yeah. And they basically, and I acted like a guy who knew nothing about bikes. I was like, seriously?
Me.
Yeah, exactly. I pretended I was you. In fact, I said my name was Russ. And I gave him your number, by the way. They walked me through sort of a parameter of questions. It didn't seem contrived at all. It seemed like, and what they were doing now that I reached back is they were gathering what the perfect bike for me was going to be. Not necessarily the most expensive, not necessarily what's available right this second, what I'm going to need, right?
Right. Well, our brand experience is not just the design and the engineering of the bike. It's all about the touch points, right? It's about how we talk to you, how you open the box and put the bike together, quite simply.
Yeah.
So the first hurdle is, how do I know what size I am? We walk you through that, or you use the perfect position system online. The second is, where can I test ride one? And we say, look, you have 30 days to try it. If you don't like it, we'll take it back for any reason at all. No harm, no foul.
Wow.
Full refund.
That's a hell of a demo.
Including freight both ways.
That's a heck of a demo.
Okay. So on top of that, people say, okay, well, where do I get it worked on? Well, VeloFix is a partner with us. They're a mobile bike shop.
Who we've had
business.
On the air with
us.
That's
a great idea.
So they'll deliver it and assemble it for you. And they say, and people ask, well, how do I put it together? How long does it take? Usually, a neophyte can put it together in 30 minutes. You're putting on the front wheel, the seat post, and the bar, and we give you all the instructions
right
in the video.
For our TV audience, it shows you how to undo the box.
All the tools are included, and we'll walk you through it over the telephone
as well. You're changing the way people are buying bicycles. I mean,
absolutely.
You really are. And I have to say, on a business model side, you're a privately held company, so you know we never talk about numbers and such anyway, but you're taking out a middleman, a pretty big middleman here, and that's got to help the bottom line eventually.
It helps a lot.
I mean, right? Because I mean, look at that. That's the whole nuance of B2C. Correct.
It is. Yes.
Isn't that how that works?
Yes.
What's next for you guys? Is it? I mean, you got your hands full right now, growing because you guys are growing at a rapid pace.
Yeah, we're growing substantially more than what Germany projected. We're doing in our second year what they projected we'd do in our third year.
My goodness.
Velo News, for instance, which is a bicycle magazine, a noted bicycle magazine in the United States, did a survey of their readers recently. 5,000 readers said, the next bike I intend to purchase is a Canyon.
So, does that scare you as much as it excites you?
It is because of the inventory issue as well as poking the bear of my competition, right?
You know what?
Careful what you wish for, man.
Yeah. I would just slow down.
Yeah.
Slow down.
Blair, I want you back, man. We're going to follow you as a company. I think it's fantastic. Right. If people want more information, go to canyon.com/EN-US.
Look at that.
I'll put that on our website. Also tweet it out. And just really a cool experience. What? Thanks so much, man. I appreciate it. All right. That does it for us. Thanks again to Joe Cudlow for swinging by from VioriClothing.com. Coming up tomorrow, I have no idea who's on the air. But actually, Tom Del Beccaro joins us tomorrow, who wrote the book, The Divided Era.
And I'll bike to work.
It's Bike to Work Day tomorrow. All right. Chris Yannick is our director. Jared Coleman, our assistant director. Curtis Matovich, our floor director, our floor cameraman, our keeper of keys, our composer. Sometimes he runs out for lunch. Russisfunny.com because...
GrossestFatAndBald.com was taken.
All right, see you tomorrow.